while you're talking to people, make sure that your business values come through clearly. To give you the example of myself, is that I'm strongly believing in sustainability, which means that even though merchandising is quite popular and can be easily snapped up by dog owners, I prefer to connect local business owners who have a craft around their activities through my platforms. So while talking to dog parents, I will make sure that I'm talking about sustainability, not just because that's what I do, but because I believe in it so much.
Welcome back to the Own Your Awkward podcast. I'm your host, Andy Vargo, and every episode we get into what has made our guests vulnerable and how they've learned how to own their awkward in order to live their best life. Stay tuned so you can hear every awkward moment in today's show. Hey friends, welcome back. We are about to get awkward with another episode of the Own Your Awkward podcast, and I am super, super honored today to have a guest from all the way across the world. We have Rushali here, who is a mentor to families and their dogs, and she teaches you how to use your dog as a calming force to really, and chime in if I'm butchering this, but Rushali teaches you to use your dog as a calming force to really help you move your life forward. Rushali, it's an honor to have you here today. Thank you so much.
Most welcome. No, you didn't butcher it, and it was quite well said. Thank you. And hi, everybody who listens to Andy's videos and podcasts. Thank you for being there, being his audience.
Yeah, thank you so much, Rushali. I'm just really intrigued by what you do. And we're going to get to that in just a couple minutes because, you know, we all have pets and, you know, so many people have, you know, you hear that a dog is a person's best friend and all these things, but never have I seen somebody teach you how to really lean into that and use that as a way to really bring balance to your life. So I'm excited and I've loved getting to know about what you do. So Rushali,
excellent. How did we start?
Yeah, we're gonna start by finding out what it is that you see from the things that you have going on and that you're involved in. What's the best thing going on in the world right now that you see out there?
Okay, so I gave this one a little thought because you do ask very, you know, thought-provoking questions. Actually, it sounds very simple, but if you give it a thought and say, what is it really?
Right.
And it was a thinker. So what comes to mind is that given the situation, the whole situation in the world right now, kindness is what I see being practiced more and more. And with kindness comes quite a few positive and good qualities that really need to build up in ourselves. And by building in ourselves, they lead into the world. So I'm going to stick with kindness is what I see out in the world right now. And that's a good thing.
I love that. I really believe that we can resolve so many conflicts just by stepping in with a mindset of being kind. You know, we don't have to agree. We don't have to come from the same background. But if we're just thoughtful and nice when we make a comment or ask a question, it changes everything, doesn't it?
Indeed.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to push you a little further on that one. So have you seen an example lately where you noticed kindness made a difference in something?
Yes. Well, I did. I've got a couple of examples. So do you want, okay, choose between 1, 2, and 3, and then I'll pick up that example and share it with you.
I'm super bad at deciding. I'm going to go 2 because that's the easiest, just right in the middle.
That's a good choice. Okay, so how kindness is practiced and how it helped in this situation was that there was a, it was, you know, a pedestrian on the streets. And right now, where I am, is a very seasonal time. So think of Christmas, but this season is our Christmas here on the Indian subcontinent. So we are, you know, the shops are open, the people are out, which means that the dogs around, we've got dogs out on the streets and they're not abandoned. It's a breed of dog that we call the Indies. And they live out on the streets. They're very happy here. However, they enjoy their little space on the streets. And when you have a lot of people out, then they tend to be uncomfortable. So the kindness that I saw here was that the drivers of the cars and the two-wheelers in this space where there were a couple of dogs hanging around, they didn't honk their horns and they were just like moving at their own pace. I found that the dogs were being more comfortable with this and not very, you know, anxious and all that, which means that they're not running around frantically and getting in the way of traffic, which means less accidents and just a normal, more peaceful environment. So I found that there.
I love that because it's just something as simple as being a little patient and not honking your horn, not creating the agitation in the other person or the animal where now the dog is reacting not to the car being there, but to the actual, you know, aggressiveness of a driver. That's beautiful. I love that. And I love that you painted the picture of the change in season and how the change in season affects the change in the environment. And then that affects the living space of the dogs. Yeah,
it does.
Now, speaking of shopping, I got a little call yesterday that I had a delivery, and I have to show everybody this. If you are listening and not watching, this is worth checking out the video for. I'm holding up a mug. It's red and blue, and it says Proudly Awkward in Tacoma. And this is a hand-painted mug. Now, this is important, and it's topical because Rushali looked up a company here in my own town in Tacoma, found this company that hand-painted this mug for me and delivered it yesterday. So now I can have my coffee out of a little custom awkward mugs. Thank you so much, Rushali. I appreciate it. And I have to just give a shout out to the Mad Potter Clay Company, where their artist took my logo, made this design, worked with Rushali to make it match everything I do. So you'll be seeing this in a lot of stuff. So thank you so much. That was awesome.
Woohoo! Most welcome.
And you know what's so cool about this too is that not only just the time and effort that you took to do that, but that from across the world, you found a local business who does this thing. Because it's so easy to go on and find a knickknack that might not have so much meaning or that might not support a local business. And that you were able to do that and did that. That's amazing. That just gets me all warm and cozy inside.
Indeed, yes. And I would like to spend another 2 minutes talking about the whole process because it might help some of your audience as well.
Sure.
What I did was I like shopping. Some of my business values and my personal values include sustainability and kindness and all that good stuff, which means that buying something here, well, and because I consider you a friend, I like doing stuff for friends. So you were going to get something anyway. Now, sending something from here to there is going to be a huge carbon footprint, single-use plastic and all that stuff. So I went online, our dear online friends, and I searched for business in Tacoma, and I found a few. Then I narrowed down my search and said queer businesses in Tacoma, and still I got some results. And then I got into a conversation. We had an initial chat, and it's been going on. It did take some time because of the time difference, and plus because the business is a busy one. So they've got to consider all these logistical bits and bobs. But we got the job done, and I'm so happy.
Oh, I love it. That's so awesome. And I thought about that because I was thinking, I was thinking about this yesterday all day long because I was just floored by it. And I was thinking, I don't even know if I would know where to start to find something all the way around the world. And granted, the internet, it reaches everywhere. So it does, it does really help. But even sometimes finding something across town where it's hard to know what to trust through online. So that that had to just...
That's true, which is where you on your website, you've got where your business is located. So that was helpful. Then these businesses within Tacoma who have their complete addresses, who have good reviews, who have, you know, up-to-date posts. That is what also helped me narrow down because I did find a couple, but this one called out to me the most. So that's how, you know, the business transaction could be a successful one as well.
Yeah. And again, if you didn't hear it earlier, it's Mad Potter Clay Studio. They're located in Graham, which is just right near Tacoma here. And they did an awesome job. I'm going to hold it up one more time. So got my mug. So thank you, Rushali. That's awesome. All right. So speaking of awkward, Rushali, what is your awkward that you have had to own in order to, you know, create this life you're living?
Thank you. And you're doing such an amazing job of calling out the awkward. It's been out there, but it's so necessary. And it gets you thinking about stuff that should be and should not be. So I gave it a lot of thought. What is my awkward? And I narrowed down to talking to animals was an awkward, which I really had to overcome. And it goes back to my... So I'll start a little bit behind as a backstory as a child, and then I'll move on to how I'm using my awkward now. So as a child, I grew up with, evenings and afternoons after finishing our studies, spent in front of the television. We had televisions. I'm talking about the age of the box televisions,
oh, right.
The VCR and the cassette tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And we would look up cartoons and animated films, which always had animals in there as well as humans, and they talked. So for example, this one movie, and the reason I seem to be talking in code is because I want the audience to understand what this film could be, what is it about, and reach out to either of us so that, you know, we can get the conversation going. So this is not just a listen in passive mode. Let's participate here. So that's why I'm being a little roundabout.
I love it.
So for example, this bunny rabbit in the film, mm-hmm. had his bunny mother say, "What has your father been telling you, Thumper?" And then Thumper, hangs his head and says, "If you can't say anything nice, don't say nothing at all."
Mm-hmm.
And I learned such small things from animals. And growing up, I'm like, well, okay, animals, well, couldn't talk in my mind. Right. I didn't own animals as such, but I was always around dogs. So growing up, so that was one area that I said, okay, it's natural for me. Then fast forward in a little higher school, we had a competition people enroll for different competitions. And this was a drawing competition. And the theme was, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Mm.
And this sentence very naturally came to me that I want to be an environmentalist. I didn't even know that was a word at that time.
Okay.
And I got a consolation prize for that. I'm like, okay. And it was, a Capri Sun diary and a Capri Sun juice box. But it was there. And I didn't think much about it. So, I trotted along on life and did my graduation and got a corporate job and everything. And I still say thank you and please to animals around. I still say stop and sniff a flower and all those.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the time came for me to switch out of corporate and say, okay, what do I really want to do? Because it doesn't feel completely satisfying. And I went back to my animal roots and I'm like, okay, so let me have telepathy. Let me do something with animals. And this is how, this is when Blossom came into my life. She is my golden retriever girl. She came into my life in 2018. And then Marshall, my other dog, who's a rehomed rescue, he followed in December 2018. And they just led me on this wonderful path of talking to animals. And I finally got the courage to own my awkward being that I talk to animals and have conversations. And I can translate those conversations for other dog owners and pet owners as well.
I love that. And you know what's so beautiful, which we're going to hear about in a couple minutes, about how much you've made this your life. And I'm going to dig into that a little bit further. But first, was there a moment where you felt different when you were younger because you had that connection to animals and maybe other kids didn't? How was that?
Yeah, it was difficult. And I must say that I just would shut up, because otherwise, you get ragged and laughed at, and that's not a very nice feeling to have.
Right.
So I was firm that, yeah, that's okay. I can talk to dogs, but since I can't make everybody else around me understand, I'm just not going to talk about it. And that's what I did.
So you still had the conversations, you just didn't share them, if I understand right.
Yes.
Which is, It's good to hear because sometimes I feel like we set things aside and we don't pursue them when we're shamed or when we feel put down or made fun of. We just stop doing that thing. And then it makes it even harder because now we're not doing something that's really important or that we love. And not that it's any easier when you can't share it or be open about it, but I'm glad you didn't give it up.
Yes, I am too.
So now when you stepped out of corporate and you've got Blossom and now you and then the two dogs, how did you start to realize that you could make this a business?
Yeah, that was the other path I had to explore on my own because I didn't really have solid coaching or good mentors. I mean, I had good mentors who were good at their craft, but how do I make my craft my business was something I had to explore. And it all started with telepathic communication. While, you know, when you, well, normally when you get a dog, you go through dog training. So, which
Okay.
is what I did as well. I did dog training. And one of the aspects that I worked with Blossom was to, to stay in one place without making a mess. So she had, instant gratification. So she had toys, she had treats around her, and I would give her, an instruction to. Now I won't use that word that is normally used, like training and command, because I've learned that that's not really what happens. So I gave her an instruction to please behave herself and, not do all of this while I walk to from the bedroom to the living room and back. And she would be good some days, she wouldn't be good the other days. And the days when she wouldn't be good, she would cower and, go behind the curtain or the bed. And I'm like, how does she know that she's going to be disciplined? And by that time, I had discovered Instagram and, being a pet owner, I was always searching for stuff to read about. And that's where I discovered telepathy. And I'm like, oh, really? Animals really do talk. So that again opened up this tiny, sleeping beauty of my mind that was I can talk to animals. And that's where it opened up. And as I explored and I got deeper into this, it really opened up a lot. For example, when I get stressed up, so I'm working on a laptop, I've got calls, I'm busy in the kitchen, etc. And then suddenly I would notice Blossom, and what she was doing, she wasn't barking, she wasn't whining. She would sit down on her hind legs and scratch herself. And I'm like, girl, what's wrong? And the first thing that pet owners do when the dog scratches themselves is look for these pests on their fur. I couldn't find any. So this went on for a couple of days. I'm like, okay, I've got to sit and talk about this to her. So I used, and that is when I activated my telepathy and said, Blossom, can you tell me what's happening? And she said, she literally said the word stress, rest. I'm like, well, you're resting all day. What are you talking about? And then she would look at me. She would stare into my eyes and I'm like, oh, you're talking about me. And that is when I realized, oh yeah, I've been, I haven't had water, I haven't had a break. And that's where I realized that, this can be taken forward.
Yeah, she was feeding off of your stress, and as such an important companion, she's actually going, I can't have you in this state of mind because that's my job is to take care of you. And if you're stressed out now, I'm going to be stressed out. Wow.
Exactly.
That's amazing. So it's interesting because what I'm hearing from your journey is like you knew you connected with animals early on and you could have these conversations and feelings, but not necessarily to the level that you've really understood the last few years. Is that right?
Exactly. And to translate that into a business model. So otherwise, I was looking at, dog training as a business or just telepathy as a business. But then I realized if I can have an actual conversation and improve my lifestyle, because then I take breaks, I sit and talk to her, I sit and play with her, which so there's a hormone and a happy hormone called oxytocin,
Right.
and you get a dopamine hit by conversing with animals, and that gets you into a better frame of mind, which leads to a boost of energy, which leads to, working better and efficiently. So that's what, if it could work with me, it could work with other pet owners. And that's why I explore the mentor to families with dogs, because it's just that I need to unlock this guide that is already there with them. They just don't know how to use it.
Right.
So yeah, that's what became my business model.
Well, I think it's really, really awesome that you mentioned the oxytocin and the dopamine and things, because when we have something that is a little outside of the mainstream, it's like it's hard enough for me to explain my business or to make it a business model. I mean, you've been on the calls where we've had with Ruben. We have to give a shout out to Ruben with Memoran, who has brought us together through his CRM for not a CRM, you know, not your regular CRM type of system. But you know, we've been on these calls where we're developing our message, and you see me struggle through, like, I don't know how to say what I'm trying to say. And the further away you get from a tangible product, like you buy this bread and you make a sandwich, the further we get from that, the harder it is to sell or to explain. And different people need to hear it in different methods. Some people need the science. Some people need, you know, the feel good aspect. Some people need the hard numbers. And so I love that you can speak to all of that. What's been the trickiest part to get people to understand what it is and what the benefit is that you do?
This whole process that you explain is
Right?
The tricky part for me.
Yeah, that's
so
fair.
That's why I stuck to, yeah. And then that's when I began to narrow down on my tagline, if you want to say. So the way I proceeded was attend networking meetings. And I experimented with, you know, when you're online on, you know, or online platforms, you can put in what your name can be. You can rename yourself.
Right.
So when I experimented with different renames, I put my complete name. I would just put my dog's name. I would just put emojis. I would just put my website address. And when I the one that got the most engagement or the most questions was Roshali, mentor to dog families. What the hell is it that you do? I'm like,
Right.
okay, this is working. I'm just go with it. So that's how I figured it out. And I always feel that now with telepathy, or, you know, with, I'm just going to use the cheesy word, being aligned with the universe. When
sure.
I know, and when I'm standing strong in what I want to do for pet owners, the right people align with me. So
yeah.
I just keep putting out my message, and the ones who want to hear it are going to be drawn to me. The ones who just want, you know, to browse, they've got a lot of information online that I can share with, and then take it from there. So that's how I proceed.
Oh, that's great. So do you remember the first time you worked with someone else? Because one thing that I have found is it's easy for us to say, oh, well, you can talk to dogs or you have that skill, but I can't do that. So how were you able to, like, move from, I have this thing I can do, too, I can show you how to do this yourself or move forward with it?
So I do. That's a good question as well. And this will be helpful for dog owners to listen to, because then you can watch your pet and see whether this is happening. So when we do get on a call, or this is what I see around me, dogs will, when you're a work from home dog owner, and you're working on your laptop and you haven't taken a break in quite a bit of time, your dog will naturally come up to you and try and get your attention. Take a step back and think about, what is it? Is it really because they want to go for a walk, or is it them trying to get you to understand that, move, human, get your butt off and take a break? It's going
Right.
to be good for you to take a break. Your stress levels are increasing.
Oh.
And when I speak dogs, when I speak in this manner, it does give them a pause, because they know that this is usually what happens. And then they're like, oh, is that so? And then the light bulb goes off, and then that's how the conversations takes place.
I love that. It just, this light bulb went off as you were saying that in my head, because I've thought about how many times, I don't have a dog right now, but I used to have a family dog. And I remember instances like that where your instinct is, the dog needs something, or the dog is requiring this attention or getting antsy. In reality, it might not have been about the dog, and it probably wasn't. It was the dog, almost without even being trained, is a service dog. Like, if we viewed all of our animals that way, like, oh, they're keeping us from danger, or keeping us from getting overstressed, because they feel it and they sense it and they know it. The same way that a dog is going to react differently when they sense an earthquake coming, or that you're about to step into danger, they're reacting ahead of time. Wow.
Absolutely. Yes.
I just need to sit here
Yeah,
at
you
this
got
light
it.
bulb moment for a minute because I'm rethinking all of the interactions I've had with dogs over the years. And so when you say you mentor families, what's the right kind of family that's going to reach out to you that's going to need help? And also, I want to call out, we mentioned at the beginning, you're in India. So is this like people right by you that need to reach out to you? Or can you help me over here? Who's your ideal area that you serve?
Oh, sure. That's a question. So, yes, I am based on the other side of the world. And because the method I use is telepathy, I don't have to be there with you in Tacoma or with the dog who is there.
Mm-hmm.
So let me give you a brief understanding of what telepathy means.
Perfect.
And if you think about using a telephone, we are not in the same room. We could be anywhere, but it's this telephonic connection that is making us talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly what happens on a telepathic conversation. We are having a conversation on the phone, and I am connected with your dog telepathically, and then they can give me a download.
Wow.
So that is how the business model works. Again, because I am based on the other side of the world, it's nighttime here, but it's daytime there. So it's convenient for you to get in touch with me as a convenience. So in the mornings, before lunchtime is when I'm typically available. After that, I do have to rest myself.
There.
And then emails are there and chatting is there. So I do use a lot of online, the virtual method to communicate.
Right.
That's how the business model works. And the right kind of dog owners who need to know more about what I do is just a dog owner who's curious about improving their lifestyle, getting in connection with their dog better. And absolutely, if you have a lot of questions in mind that you've not gotten answers to, or you think there's more, but you don't know who to approach, because I'm in the, well, let's call it the pet industry, and I'm global, I do have a lot of peers and colleagues and friends who are in the pet industry, and I might be able to connect you with somebody who is local or who's an expert in what you're looking for. And that is where also that you can reach out to me. So these are the two areas that I'm wanting dog owners to connect.
Okay, I love that. Now, speaking of, you know, being a little awkward and being a little like you have this, you've talked about going to networking and you've talked about being connected in the pet industry. Anytime that we are just a little bit out of that, out of the main talking points for say business, you go into a business environment. And yeah, I know sometimes I go into networking events here and everyone started up a tech company or a restaurant or they're starting something very tangible. And I come in and it's like, well, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, I do speaking and coaching. And I always have a hard time like feeling like I fit into those conversations. And I feel like we can be similar in that way where you step in and they're just like, well, what do you do? And you're like, well, I talk to your dog. And so how has that been? Like, have you found, I'm curious what that journey has been like to really refine how you present yourself both with families, but then also in a business setting.
Oh, great question. Thank you. And this has got me excited to talk about, because for other business owners who don't have a tangible product, this could be helpful as well. So do listen in. Again, it's based on experimenting with our craft.
Mm-hmm.
So for some, like I experimented with the name that I changed on my online calls. I experimented with wearing, like you've got a t-shirt that, you know, says "Own Your Awkward." So that's going to get attention. What is awkward? And people come and talk to you.
Yeah.
That's what I did. My t-shirts have my logo where it's two dogs. So definitely if anybody is a dog lover, they're going to say, how cute is this? And come and talk to me about that.
Yeah.
Or if it's based on situations, if it's a, you know, a pet owner comes, so there's a person walking their dog and, you know, talks to me about what I do, then I definitely tell them because they're already tuned into what I might say. If I don't know what the person is doing for, you know, a living, I'm going to turn around and ask them a question. What is, you know, your struggle in life? And I'm going to lead with that. And then if it does align, I'm, going to tell them about what I do. Otherwise, I'm just going to, be a sympathetic ear for them so that they can have, ship sailing in the night and, never connecting again, which is fine as
Right.
well. They're going to have a good experience. And I definitely learn something or the other for the next time that I go and speak to another person. So this is how I've been building up.
Yeah, and you never know. That person might not have something that fits, but if they hear your story, they might think, oh, you know what? I have to introduce you to my friend or my coworker because their life is all over the place and they've got three dogs and they got to just get things settled. So that's, you never know where those connections will lead. I love that you
Exactly.
mentioned, yeah, I love that you mentioned earlier how you played around with changing your name and that the one that you ended up with, it wasn't just that people read it, it was they said, well, what is that? What do you do? And can you help us kind of understand how to come up with maybe some things that create questions?
Repeat your question. Create
Oh,
questions.
when you're creating like your
Oh.
name, like how do you like even earlier when you were talking about the movie you watched earlier and you were specific, I'm not going to share too much because I want to create the conversation. So what are some things to consider when we're trying to give just enough information that makes people want to ask more?
Okay, I'm going to put on my business hat and try and answer this one.
I love it.
I read a lot. I'm absolutely reading anything I can get my hands on, and I'm a little bit particular now because I'm growing my business to read business books, to get onto email lists,
Yeah.
check out what other mentors and business owners are doing, and I listen to podcasts, and that's where I get a lot of my ideas. So, question, maybe three things, well, three call to action or three sentences that could get questions asked would be to come up with your particular business values. While you're talking to people, make sure that your business values come through clearly. To give you the example of myself, is that I'm strongly believing in sustainability, which means that even though merchandising is quite popular and can be easily snapped up by dog owners, I prefer to connect local business owners who have a craft around their activities through my platforms. So while talking to dog parents, I will make sure that I'm talking about sustainability, not just because that's what I do, but because I believe in it so much. So that definitely comes through. The second thing that could be done is, have on an outfit or carry flyers with you or have some screensavers on your phone or, something of that sort, which you can talk to people. You can have quotes that you believe in and incorporate that into your conversation, which could be a conversation, thinker and say, okay, what's that about? Again, I can give you my own example. I strongly believe in, this is a Japanese term, and I love that you had this guest on your podcast, and he's been wonderful. Mark, I think, is
Oh,
his
yeah, Mark
name.
Reed. Yeah.
And what I really aligned with him on is this terminology called Kaizen, which means continuous improvement. When I add this term into my conversation, it's different. So it's going to get questions back to me. And then I can definitely talk around that. And the third way is, this is what I learned from another coach that I work with. And he said, now it's going to sound cheesy, but and it comes with practice. So the more you practice, is going to you're going to get better. You can always ask questions yourself to which you have the unique answers to. So, like, again, an example of myself, my tagline says Rushali, mentor to dog families. When I get asked the question, I've got an answer. It's not just something I came up with and I am going to sit and stutter and mutter, and then the whole magic is lost. So
Right.
I think these are the three things that business owners could do.
Yeah, one of my favorite things that you just said was not letting the magic get lost. Like if you don't have a plan in place, you've lost that moment that you could capture because you do all this work to create the question. And if you're not prepared for the answer or to really capture the chemistry you have with the person, if you lose the magic, now you lose the potential opportunity to move forward in that relationship, whether it's business or personal or anything. You have to be ready for that.
Yes, and readiness does come from practice, which is, again, going back to dogs.
Right.
Do you know they're always trying to, I always use this sentence, I say the dog is trying to train the human, it's never the other way around, how much ever you want to do that. Right. So, you know, I learn from my own dogs that they're always trying to get me to give them treats mm-hmm. when it's not treat time.
Right.
And it's not, so when I'm snacking, well, we get hungry. So I do, I have a habit of snacking through the day. Is that good for my dogs? It's really not. And there's a reason for that. They've got, well, they are anyway, they are smaller than us, which means all their organs are of a smaller quantity than us mm-hmm. and a capacity than us. So overfeeding will lead to different problems. Overfeeding the wrong things is going to lead to another set of problems, which right. is why I really have to make sure that that does not happen. So they're always trying to train me to give them treats, and I've got to stop doing that. So that's where I practice and they practice. So, you know, the better man wins.
And it's good for both if we can both cut back, right? Now,
true.
One thing that I'm always curious about is when you've gone through this journey where you kept it quiet about, you know, your connection to animals and to dogs, especially, and then you were in the corporate life and you came out of the corporate life and got Blossom and then another dog and you realized this is a thing. How did that change your life? Did things, was it tough? Was it easy? Was it just a quick instant? Like, here we are. What's life been like since you were able to really own your awkward and just say, hey, this is me. This is what I'm doing.
Oh my God. No, it was not a quick change at all. It was another one of the sentences I use is, you can either laugh or you can cry. It's your choice. So I prefer to laugh, laugh through the situation. So my whole journey began in 2018 when Blossom came in. And it took steps. I first, before getting Blossom on board into my family, I had made the choice that I would not work 9 to 5 in a corporate because that meant leaving my dogs at home. Mm-hmm. And the method, the way forward for myself that I had chosen was I would be a hands-on dog parent. So that was, a non-negotiable for me, which led me to now explore what is negotiable within the structure that I have built for myself, which meant that I had to be online or work part-time and then all that stuff. So this journey definitely had a lot of trials and errors, a lot of, revenue generated, revenue lost, expenses, over expenses, losses, lost relationships, incomplete relationships. Some I have gotten opportunities to work because I did have a strong corporate background. When you work in a corporate and you like what you do, I wanted to just, progress in that path. And I was building up my contacts and networking in that way, but then I had to let that go. So I was still getting some calls from there. I had to make the decision not to go there. Mm. So it all came from trial and error. And it really isn't too long. So if I'm really honest, I have been owning my awkward since, I have been re-owning my awkward since 2018. And I finally found this path that I want to take maybe during, the pandemic that happened or in 2021. And since then, I have locked in on my North Star and I'm on the journey now.
Yeah, I love that because sometimes we kind of know where we want to go or what we want to do or what the thing is, but it takes a while to get there. And that's one thing I really have tried to make sure people understand. It's not this, you make a declaration and then life is just amazing the next day. I think it's more hopeful the next day. I think as soon as we know, we can say, this is where I'm going and I have a purpose. And so the deterrence and the struggles don't hold you. They're not as daunting because you're I'm just going to move forward. One thing that I think was so critical about what you said was how you decided what your non-negotiables were, and then you took that new framework and said, okay, within this space, within these boundaries, what do I need to negotiate? What do I need to change? Because that's, I think sometimes we try to set everything as a non-negotiable and we don't realize we need to compromise in certain areas, but we have to know what the main structure is first.
Definitely, yes. Also, this is not my only, I mean, we need currency as the main exchange.
Right.
So this is not my main income stream, mm-hmm. or this is not my only income stream. That much is also true. I do have a few other revenue generating activities that I do through the day as well.
Right.
So while I knew that these were my non-negotiables, I could also not ignore the fact that I need to put food on the table, or if I need to do shopping, or if I have any petty expenses, or I own a car, I go out for camping with my dogs and my child, or I have a particular lifestyle, I do need to generate revenue for that,
right.
You know, while also preparing for the future, if we can say that. And I kept that in mind as well.
Yeah, we do. We have to be responsible and still fend for ourselves while we make these adjustments. And a lot of times that's the most difficult time, because we've got one foot in each, you know, in each area at the same. And so it's like, I've still got to do this to keep life going, but I'm heading this way and I know it's going to be a great thing, but I can't give up on the other one yet. And so many more people are doing that than we realize, because I see people that I talk to and I view them as way ahead of me on their journey, and like, oh, they're doing all things. And all of a sudden they mention their day job. I'm like, what? You have a day job still? But it makes me feel better, because I'm always doing side gigs and day jobs too while I've gotten my business off the ground. And every 6 months,
exactly.
I just say, is it growing? As long as it's growing and moving forward, I just keep plugging away.
Exactly. That's a good, you know, taking a temperature check and a test check periodically definitely helps.
Right. Now, I'm going to ask you for some advice in just a second. But before that, where do you prefer people find you? What's the best way for them to support you? We've got links in all the in the description here for your stuff. But where are you most active? Where's the easiest place for people to connect with you?
You could connect with me on Facebook Messenger, on LinkedIn, or just send me an email at, I can call out my email address. And I think it's going to be funny enough that you remember it. So let's give that
perfect.
A try. It's yes@theratebrushaliandblossom.com.
I love it. Yes at the rate, brushaliandblossom.com. Perfect. Well, there's a link in the description too. So if you're driving or you're doing laundry or chores and didn't write that down, or you aren't going to remember, just click it and you're there. And before we go, what advice would you give our listeners this week, or how would you challenge them to own their awkward?
Okay. So I hope the listeners are ready for this. It's not too much to do, but it's definitely something that will get you thinking, get you more mindful, get you into the, you know, the right mindset for better productivity, to have a more aligned lifestyle with whatever it is that you want to proceed with. So what I have for the Own Your Awkward audience is, answer this question over the next 7 days and take a temperature check and see what's, you know, changed. And the question is, just for today, I am aware about dash. So let me repeat, just for today, I am aware about dash. And the dash could just literally be anything.
Okay. Wow.
Let's see what happens.
It's interesting when you leave it that open-ended, because I could imagine, I know with myself, any particular day or even a different time of day, what I put in that dash could be completely different.
Exactly. Yes. And sometimes when, because this happens with me, when I'm given a direct question and I'm not in that mind frame, it just gets buried into all the rest that I've got to do during the day. And
right.
Although it's interesting, I never tend to go back to that. That's why this way.
I love that. I know what I will be doing the next 7 days. And I look forward to seeing, I think I'm going to have, I know for myself, I need to write it down, because at the end of the 7 days, I'd like to look back and see how it transpired. That'll be interesting. Now my wheels are turning and I still have a podcast to finish up. So I gotta set that aside for a minute. I'm gonna come back to that in a moment. But Rushali, anything else you want to share before we wrap up? This has been just amazing.
I had a wonderful time too. No, I can talk for hours about animals, and I promised myself that I'm going to stick to the script per se. So no, nothing further to add. And thank you. You've been a wonderful host, and looking forward to our conversations.
Well, you have been a wonderful guest. Thank you. Thank you so very much. It's so fun to have you as a friend and a business partner as we're moving forward, figuring things out. I absolutely love it. And thank you so much for the mug. It's such a thoughtful gift. Rushali, it's been awesome. I look forward to seeing your business grow and all of the help that you're doing for the families and people out there, and the dogs, of course. Everybody else, be sure you go out there this week.
Thank you.
Thank you. Make sure that you think about what you're aware of, listen to Rushali, and as always, own your awkward.
Thank you so much for listening in for today's show. Be sure to visit awkwardcareer.com to continue your journey. And of course, please like, subscribe, and share with your friends so they can find their awkward side and learn how to own it.